So, I'm here to talk about prayer. And actually, I'm just going to say, I'm not going to talk for very long, but Rob Scott Cook spoke on prayer this morning, actually. So if you want a longer talk on prayer that is really fantastic, tune in to Rob's talk on prayer, which he did at 11 o'clock. And he gave some practical pointers. So if you're the sort of person that wants practical pointers, you want to know what to do with an A4 sheet of paper and how to use it in prayer, then tune in, because it was really good. I've just got back, actually, from The Gathering, which is the 24-7 prayer movements conference with Worship Central, and I was there for a couple of days last week, Thursday, Friday. And I totally, heartily recommend this book. It's called Dirty Glory. It's written by Pete Gregg. It is the best book I've read this year. Oh, Joey Mitchell seconds that. So it immediately goes up in everyone's ratings because he's much more cooler than I am. But it is such a good book on prayer, and it's really encouraging. It's inspiring. It kind of blows your mind a bit with some of the answers to prayer. It is, theologically speaking, you kind of can't work it out, but God has done it anyway. So do get hold of this book if you want to be inspired or encouraged to know how to pray, because it is brilliant. Now, I'm speaking about prayer in the context of our series called The Apprentice. Not the TV programme, but how we can be apprentices of Jesus, how we can grow and become more like him. And when the disciples saw Jesus praying, they were impressed and they said to him, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And I guess if you like points, that could be my first point of this sermon, that is a good thing to ask God or to say to God, "Teach me how to pray." I've been praying for 40 years because I got to know Jesus when I was about 7. I've just given a very big secret away. And do you know what? Even though I've been praying for a really long time, I still have to say that to God regularly. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray, because it can be really hard to know how to pray. It can be really hard to get going. It can be really hard to know what to say and how to do it. And you know, when life happens to you and it's hard, it can be really hard to know how to pray. So I guess a question for you is, what does prayer look like for you? How do you pray? When do you pray? Do you pray? Are you a crisis prayer? You kind of only pray in a crisis. I pray in a crisis. Or does a crisis actually stop you from praying? You know, it's like sometimes it's the last thing you do, isn't it, when you're in a crisis? You go to everybody else first, and then you think, oh, actually, yeah, maybe I should pray about that. Or maybe you're the sort of person that kind of feels like, actually, prayer for me is going through the motions. It's kind of, I know I should do it. I know if you want to be a kind of a good Christian, you need to pray. But I'm going through the motions. It feels really one-sided. I'm saying the stuff, but God seems to be very silent. He doesn't seem to be responding to what I'm saying. Or maybe you feel God's not interested in you and your prayers. You know, Rob Scott Cook, is Rob here? No, Rob Scott Cook. You know, he has God's ear, doesn't he? But, you know, does Rachel Riddle have God's ear in the same way? Oh, thanks. But, you know, it can feel like that, can't it? You have the prayer warriors and then the sort of prayer stick people like us. You know, does God listen to us and respond in the same way? That's what it can feel like. I can feel sometimes that I'm not sure if God is hearing. On one level, prayer is very straightforward, isn't it? It's about communicating with God. It's about talking to God. It's about coming to him and sort of giving him our needs and our wants and our requests. But on another level, prayer is really mysterious and multidimensional and deep and hard to fathom out. And I feel like I'm always on a journey trying to discover how to pray. And, you know, this time last year, I was in a bit of a dark place. But actually, being in a really dark place does wonders for your prayer life. Hard times can either cause us to call on God and seek his presence and pray, or it can actually have the opposite effect and cause us to walk away from God in frustration as why have you allowed this to happen to me? And actually, I was very fortunate that I had a lot of people praying for me in my dark valley. And I was praying my socks off for me, very selfishly. Dave Mitchell said that he thought most of the church was praying for me, and that's why everything in the world was kind of going crazy, because everyone was, I was selfishly absorbing all the prayers. But that isn't how it works, Dave. But it was quite funny. But actually, when the hard times come, that can be a great time to pray. And even though lots of people were praying for me, and I did feel like I was being carried by all those prayers, I didn't feel very connected to God for some of that time. And that sort of troubled me a bit. And it wasn't like I blamed God, and I wasn't cross with God, and, you know, bad stuff happens to people. Bad stuff happens to, you know, people we know and love all the time. So I didn't blame God for the bad stuff. But actually, I was frustrated with the fact that I didn't feel very connected with God. And I shared this with my mentor, actually. And I was just sort of saying to her, you know, I really need to connect with God in a deeper way than just sort of like in a praying for my needs kind of way. And she shared with me that when she finds herself in that place, sometimes what she does is she gets up early and watches the sunrise. And as she watches the sunrise and sees the sun break through the darkness, it's like a thin place. She can sense the presence of God breaking through the darkness. And do you know what? I was up for a bit of that. So if you know me well, you'll know that I don't like getting out of bed, because I really love my bed. I really love sleeping. I'm a fan of sleep. But I decided that I would sacrifice a bit of sleep because I really wanted to connect with God. So I set my alarm clock to go off half an hour before the sun rose. I figured I worked it out. And I got out of bed. And I did this for about a week, or a couple of weeks. And I would sleep out of bed, pad downstairs. The house is cold and dark and very, very quiet. And I stuck on some worship music just on my phone. And I sat on the table and looked out the window, and I'd watch the sunrise. And in those moments, I said to God, "You're here, and I'm here, and I want to know you. I want to know your presence. I want to share what I'm going through, but actually, more than that, because you already know what I'm going through, I want to hang out with you. I want to be with you. And I want to know that you're here with me. I know you're here with me, but I want to know you're here with me." And it wasn't like, you know, kind of every morning I rocked up and there was God waiting. Sometimes it was really hard, and sometimes I sensed him, and sometimes I didn't. But as I got into that rhythm and that cycle of doing that, I had some of the most intimate, wonderful moments of being in the presence of God than I've had at any other time in my life. And the morning I had to go to hospital to get some really sort of serious results, I was sort of scared. And yet, that moment when the sun rose and I was listening to worship and I was just kind of invoking the presence of God, my tears were running down my cheeks because I just felt the love of God so deeply, so tangibly, so lovingly, that I thought, actually, I've discovered something about prayer here. And I don't think, it's not like nobody else has discovered it, but I've discovered it personally for me, that actually prayer is about petition. It is about bringing God our requests. Absolutely. The Bible is full of that. I mean, James says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." Philippians says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And Thessalonians says, "Pray without ceasing." God wants our requests. He wants us to draw near to him and actually tell him what's on our hearts and minds. He wants that. But do you know what? I think more than that, he wants us. He wants us. He wants our presence. He wants our attention. Not in a demanding way, not in a "I must have it," but he created us for relationship. That was always the deal with God. He created us for relationship. Not because he was bored. Heaven's amazing. He's got plenty to keep him occupied up there. But he wanted relationship with us. Let's have a look at this reading. It's about Jesus, and it's from Mark 1. And I'll just read it to you, and you can follow it on the screen. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there as well. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Even the Son of God, the creator of the universe, who has amazing connection with God, you know, he hears his Father speak, he acts on what the Father says to him. Even Jesus needs to retreat to a quiet and solitary place to pray. And that's not a one-off incident in Mark. You know, Mark just happened to remember that happened once. The gospel is littered with occasions where Jesus withdrew from the hustle and bustle, the busyness, the pressure, the people, and went to a quiet place to spend time with the Lord. What does that look like for you? What is your quiet place with the Lord? Do you have a quiet place with the Lord? How do you disconnect from your phone and your, you know, the life is busy, isn't it? Man, I've had the busiest week. How do you cope with being busy, but also taking time to connect with God? And we can do hurried connection with God, can't we? I'm really good at that. I can multitask, can be getting dressed, listening to the Bible, praying at the same time, shouting where the socks are to the kids downstairs when they're wondering where they are. You know, I can deal with that sort of stuff. But that isn't unhurried, solitary time with God that Jesus is modeling here with us. Prayer is multi-dimensional. I really like that word. It's so long, but it's cool. It's multi-layered. It's asking, it's listening, it's communicating with the living God who loves us and knows us. But do you know what? At the heart of prayer, and this is my, I guess, my nub of what I want to communicate in my 15 minutes, is that actually prayer is about the presence of God. It's about relationship with him. It's about connecting with him. That's what Adam and Eve did. That's what Genesis tells us they did in the Garden of Eden. They walked and talked with Jesus and enjoyed his company, enjoyed his presence. And in prayer, God invites us to enjoy his presence, to enjoy his company, to bring our petitions absolutely, to bring our requests absolutely, but to enjoy his presence, to enjoy being with him. And what I've discovered is that as you enjoy God's presence, as you connect with him on that deeper level that isn't just sort of a fleeting level, as you connect with him and enjoy his presence, my confidence in his ability to answer my prayers goes up. It increases. As I spend time with him and in his presence, I trust him more. One of the kind of outworkings of that time when I was spending time with God early in the morning and watching the sunrise was that the peace I experienced in my life in a time when I should not have had peace was tangible. And people commented on it in my life. They said, "Wow, you know, you've really sort of got a lot of peace going on there." I was like, yeah. Not all the time, not 100% of the time, but actually mostly I do have that peace. It's not for me. It's not because I'm super strong, super kind of, you know, kind of like keeping it all wrapped up like a coil spring. It's because I got it from the presence of God. And you know what? As you pray more out of the presence of God, because you know him, you know he loves you, you know he's for you, you know he's not against you, you pray bigger prayers. You trust him more because you get to know him more and you know that he's good. And that thing that we say, you know, we want God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, and we say it and we, you know, it sounds good, doesn't it? You start to believe it. you start to believe that that is actually going to happen as you pray, as you spend time with him. This is one of my favourite quotes on prayer. I'm coming into land. This is by Watchman Nee, and I often quote it, so apologies if you think, oh, here she goes again. Our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. Sorry, thinking about Wales now. Not the country, but the things in the sea. Let me say it again, because I just totally mucked it up. Our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. Our prayers usher in God's kingdom. They really do. Our prayers usher in God's kingdom. And I found it's a little bit addictive. That as I pray, and as I see God answer my prayers, and as I see, you know, sometimes the stubborn prayers that we've been praying for years and years and years, you know, that can be hard. But the stuff that you pray about and it happens quickly and you tick the in your prayer book in the back, it's kind of addictive to keep praying for more stuff. I had this incident, none of my family are here, so I can say this, but I was lying in bed the other night, I was just about to go off to bed, go to sleep, and all my family were away, I was on my own, and all five of them, had things going on in their lives, I can't remember how many I've got, anyway, all of them were in trouble in some way. We're not talking like major massive troubles, but you know, I was lying in bed, mulling them all over and going, oh my gosh, there's, oh gosh, you know, God. And I was lying in the bed worrying about all of them. And then that verse came into my mind, cast your anxiety on God because he cares for you. So I thought, right, I went through them. I listed all the anxieties I had about each member of my family and went to sleep. And as I was thinking about the sermon, as I was preparing, I looked back at those prayers and every single one of them had been answered in some way. Amazing. That's so cool, isn't it? And as you pray more, as you see God answer more, it promotes you and wants you to pray. And the other thing is, in this passage, Jesus prays, the disciples hunt him down, probably rather annoyingly for Jesus, but and then Jesus goes, right, off we go. It's time to minister. You know, I've spent time with the Father, and now it's time to go and do what I've been called to do. The time with God resourced him and empowered him to live the life that God had called him to do. In fact, when the disciples struggled to cast out an evil spirit in a young boy later on in Mark 9, Jesus says to them, actually, this one will only come out with prayer. See, they were doing it in their own strength, doing life in their own strength. They'd seen Jesus do the stuff, they were copying it, but actually they'd missed the trick with prayer. Jesus says, look, if you want a fruitful ministry, prayer is the key. And when we grasp that truth, that prayer and the presence of God go together, our prayers will change. Our faith levels will increase. Our trust that God's got good plans for us and those we pray for becomes a cemented thing in our hearts and minds rather than just a casual, you know, maybe God does, maybe God doesn't. I need to finish. But before we go back into worship, you know, worship and prayer are really key. Psalm says that God inhabits the praises of his people, or is enthroned in the praises of his people. As we worship God, as we declare his goodness, he inhabits the space, he inhabits our hearts, and actually we declare that over the city, over the city of Bristol. We declare him to be good, for his kingdom to come in the city of Bristol. And we're going to do that in a minute. But before we worship again, I want to encourage those of you that aren't really where I'm speaking, you know, that it's not really where you're at. I want to invite you, I guess, to pursue the presence of God. As I prepared this sermon, it felt so strongly that there are some here tonight that actually what I'm saying is not your current reality. And maybe it was once, but it's not anymore, because maybe life circumstances has cut across that. Maybe you're disappointed and maybe you're suffering, and pursuing the presence of God is just something that you can't really do. or feel you can do. Maybe you haven't realized that God wants to spend time with you, and that God loves you, and that God wants to hang out with you and impart something to you. Maybe you're living a very distracted and busy life. Maybe you're kind of addicted to this, and the notifications and the bells and the whistles and the dings and the dongs. You know, to be separated from this is maybe like a big ask. And you'd be like, don't be daft. But actually, I find it hard to put this down. So I suspect some other people might be like that as well. But as the band come up now, they're going to lead us in some worship. And this is an opportunity for all of us, whether you feel like, yeah, I get what Rachel's saying, and I'm so where she is. Or maybe you're like, no, I just don't really get it, and I'm not where she is, but I want to be where she's at, what she's describing. And so these guys are going to sing. They're going to sing over us. And it's your opportunity to just sit tight where you are and to take a little bit of time to invoke the presence of God in your own life. Not to be on the phone, not to be looking around. I mean, you can look around, obviously, it's not school. but, you know, not to kind of like be seeing what everybody else is doing. It's just kind of you and God time. And to enjoy the worship as it sort of washes over you, and to shut your eyes and to say, God, I want your presence in my life. Maybe this is the start of a new rhythm that I'm going to make time for you in a fresh way, and think about maybe what that could look like in your busy life. And so I just encourage you to take this time. And it's between you and God. He's here. We don't have to conjure him up. He's here by his Holy Spirit. And do you know what? I love the picture of him walking in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and enjoying their company. And that's what he wants. He wants your company. And he wants your prayer and your prayers to come out of that presence. So I'm just going to pray, and then these guys are going to sing over us, and then we're going to go back into some worship, and then we're going to pray in two other ways during the evening, then I'll lead you in that. But at the moment, it's about you and God, so let's just pray. Father God, I thank you that you invite us constantly into a relationship with you, and that you love us. You want us to be close to you, and you want us to love you, and you want us to know you love us. And so I pray for us, no matter where we are on this journey, whether this is brand new and it's kind of new information, or whether this is a reminder of something that you know already, or whether this is God sort of saying, yeah, come on. Let's make a new rhythm. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would speak to each of us in our hearts, and that we would make a choice to pursue your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.